It's Wednesday's Comedy Hour, and now, after his eventful brush with fame on the stage of Amateur Panto a couple of weeks back, Roy Mallard comes bouncing back with another fly-on-the-wall in-depth documentary in People Like Us. Today he's on the beat with the local police, meeting Tom the Bagpiper, Frank the Assassin, and visiting the cells, although not quite in the way he'd anticipated.
Hello. It's Roy Mallard, isn't it?
Hello, yes, that's right. Oh, that's good. How did you know?
Well, there's no one else in the bar.
Oh, right. Yes, that is good.
Dave Knight.
Well, if there's no one else in the bar, I suppose you must be. Yes. No, that doesn't follow, does it? Because you knew I was waiting for you, and since there was only me here, it must have been me. But as far as I know, it might not be you at all. Oh, no, but you knew my name.
I hope you haven't been waiting long.
No, not long.
It's midday, and if they start at 9 and end at 5, and if you assume that lunch is at 1 o'clock for about an hour, and then don't count it, most people are already 3/7 of the way through their working day. But the person like us I've arranged to meet in the bar of the Aspirations Fitness Centre in Warwick hasn't even gone to work yet. To say that he's currently off-duty might turn out to be misleading if you assumed he was something like an anaesthetist, a lighthouse keeper, or some other sort of keeper, like a zookeeper. But if you assumed he was a policeman, it would turn out to be an obvious clue, because he is.
It's just I decided to push myself on the rowing machine.
Really? I didn't know you could do that. How does that work exactly?
Pardon?
David Knight is 28. He's currently halfway through his third full year as a police constable with the Warwickshire Constabulary. Or more accurately, perhaps, he's all the way through his fifth. He left school at the age of 18 after A-levels, because, well, you have to, and went initially to train as a PE teacher, but left the course suddenly halfway through after misreading a signpost on a cross-country run in the New Forest. Joining the police has allowed him to maintain his interest in fitness, though his decision to apply in the first place was influenced by a friend he'd been at school with, who'd never been in the police and wondered what it would be like.
Well, when I'm on late term like today, it's pretty convenient, because I can come here and put in a decent session before I go to work.
Do you think that being fit helps you to be a more effective policeman?
I don't know, I've never really thought about that. How?
Well, if you have to run after someone who's running, or row after someone who's...
What it is, Roy, is I think it's important to keep in shape.
Mm.
I mean, I've never seen the point in being fat or ugly, have you?
No, never.
Right.
Hiya.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hey, nice shirt.
Oh, well, it's just...
No, Dave.
Yeah, yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
It'll go well with your blue jeans, won't it?
Hello.
I got it this morning.
Is it River Island?
Oh, Christ, do me a favour.
I'm joking.
It's
You got it from next, didn't you?
He's the Pope Catholic. The bear shit.
Dave's girlfriend Zoe is 26 and works at Aspirations as an aerobics teacher and tanning consultant. They originally got to know each other in the weights room at a time when Zoe was concentrating on her lower body, and by a stroke of coincidence, Dave was concentrating on her upper body. As often as they can, they see as much of each other as possible, but it isn't easy since they both lead busy and active lives. Dave often has to work irregular shifts, and as well as her full-time job, Zoe also has to look after an 18-month-old Peugeot 306 GTI.
Zoe, this is Roy Mallard.
Hiya.
Hello.
He's following me today.
And what have you found out?
Oh, no, it's not like that.
Roy's a journalist on Radio 3.
4.
All right. Hiya.
Yes.
Roy, this is Zoe.
Hello.
Hiya.
And in case you're wondering why she's wearing a lycra bikini...
Oh,
she,
yes.
She works here.
Yes, and so, Zoe, is it true what they say about policemen?
What do they say about...
I don't know.
Of course you know what they say.
No, she probably doesn't. I mean, why should she? It was just a...
Oh, that!
No, not that. No, I mean, I don't think... Well, I don't know.
Shall I tell him?
Well...
No, don't. Honestly, it was just...
Next you'll be asking me about his tattoo.
Oh, now that's...
No, I won't.
That's a bit below the...
What?
Well, I mean...
Below what?
Well, if you're going to mention that, I'm sure he'd be interested in that mold.
No, I wouldn't.
Big knife.
No, he isn't. No, I mean, he probably isn't. He might be, but I won't. But it's not.
So, this is where I keep all my stuff?
Right.
There's just enough room to keep most of the, the pictures.
What?
They're smart, aren't they?
Well, yes, that's all.
That bottom one's actually Zoe.
What, all of it?
Yeah.
She looks very, very happy.
From Aspirations, it's only about a 10-minute walk to Heathcote Road Police Station, but Dave wanted to show me his car, so we had a look at it before we went. The station itself is a 1950s red brick building that looked very like those 1950s red brick schools that looked like police stations. Dave had agreed that I should follow him step by step through his day, and after I'd looked at the toilets, we went to the locker room where he was to begin a transformation that could have come out of a Superman film, if Superman had been a policeman.
And in actual fact, a lot of smart people have got tattoos now.
Yes, have they?
And I thought, you know, well, it'd be a really neat surprise for Wednesday.
Yeah,
well,
so did you get given a helmet, or do you have to...
Well, then you've got the... you know, you can turn round, you know, if you want to.
No, I'm fine, thanks.
And then you've got the baton, which goes in this holster here on your belt.
What a clever idea, yes. But the baton, is that the same as a truncheon?
No, we don't use truncheons anymore. The baton's plastic, so although it's longer...
Is it?
Yeah, but it's actually stronger and lighter, so it fits quite snugly here.
Does it?
Yeah, because it's quite slim.
Is
so,
it?
Yeah, it is. So, look, you really can turn round now.
Really? Oh, I see, yes. That one is almost exactly as you described it.
Yeah.
And it fits quite snugly into that holster thing up there.
Yeah, almost exactly as I described it.
So can you remember how you felt when you put this uniform on for the first time?
No.
No, right. So what are these three numbers up here on your shoulder?
Well, this one here's a 4.
Yes.
This one here's a 7.
Yes, I think I'm okay with the individual.
That one on the end.
In the space of about 10 minutes, the man I'd been happily chatting to as a person like us had become Police Constable 475, which are three separate individual numbers, and was ready to go out on the beat.
You're off, Dave, are you?
On my way, Sarge, yeah. Just wanted
to... Well, be careful, it's boring out there.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted
Blimey,
to... Blimey,
where'd you find him?
This is Roy Mallard.
Hello.
Yeah, never mind about shaking hands. You just take a seat, sir.
No, Mike.
Actually, I'm just on my way out.
Oh, are you really? Will you just leave all that to us? Because
no, Mike, this is the guy from the BBC.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
Roy, this is Mike Pond. He's duty sergeant today.
Yeah, you'll love it in here. It's a laugh a minute.
Well, it has been so far, yes.
And here's WPC Jane Thorpe.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Jane. Jane adds the glamour to all our lives.
Does she?
No, Dave, just kidding, really.
Oh, I see.
No, really, it's just kidding. It's only a joke.
Right, yeah.
Okay, then. Let's get out there.
It doesn't mean it.
Right, well, nice to meet you anyway.
Yeah, it's not much like the bell, is it?
From this point on, David Knight was someone who I, as a member of society, had agreed to invest with a whole range of powers over me, from stopping me and checking the depth of tread on my car tyres, although there'd been no point to that because mine are absolutely fine, to arresting me on suspicion of murder, which would be equally pointless, really, because I didn't do it.
Afternoon, David.
Hi, Lionel. All right?
Yeah, not much to report, really.
Good, good. Well, I'll let you...
Just keep looking at me and keep talking normally.
What?
Lionel Fox has been a traffic warden in Warwick for 8 years. A small man in his 50s, so he probably won't get any taller now, he used to have a job as a caretaker in a primary school until the school governors decided to rationalise their caretaking services by employing someone more rational. After that, he survived for a while on his earnings as a referee in local football leagues, but that period ended with 7 weeks in hospital when he fell down a British Telecom inspection hole one evening whilst out practising running backwards. Now living alone, he's married to his job, and they have 2 daughters.
Yes, Dave, everything's flowing quite freely at this moment, according to the information we currently have.
Lionel, what are
you... Just answer normally.
Lionel, I know who he is.
You don't want any assistance?
Look, it's...
He's been with you since you turned the corner of Wooten Street.
I know, he's with me.
I think you're okay. He's just a drunk.
Hi.
It would have been interesting for Lionel to talk to us longer, but just as this seemed almost inevitable, he found that we'd gone.
So, what exactly is the nature of the relationship between the police constabulary and the traffic wardenery?
Lionel thinks it's very close. Oh, smart
yeah,
car.
Yeah, but I mean...
The thing about BMWs is, yeah, they are expensive, but they just look the business.
Yes, yes. Nice headlights.
Yeah, they're ellipsoid.
How clever.
Hotel Whiskey X-ray to Hotel Whiskey 475.
Hotel Whiskey 475, go ahead.
Dave, can you do a 10-3 junction of Lammer Street and Milton Road?
Yeah, got that.
Nothing too serious, just a complaint about some street entertainer.
Okay, just coming up on Milton Road now, over.
Thank you, 475, over.
That sounds interesting. Are you able to...
Is that bloke still with him?
Yeah, he is.
Blimey, he's still with him.
Are you able to tell me what that was about?
Look, it's a myth that police officers are slow.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's just a myth.
Yes, of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, I didn't mean, are you able to tell me what it was about? I just meant, are you allowed to?
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. Just misunderstood you
there. No, you didn't.
It's quite simple.
Yes, but
really,
it needn't have been. I mean, it's not because you couldn't cope with
it. It's just the 10 code.
The ten code?
Yeah, like if you're doing a 10-1, it's just general patrol.
Right, I see.
Then you might get asked to do a 10-2, which is like phone somewhere.
Right, highly complex then.
And then if they ask you to do a 10-3, it's like physically go somewhere.
Oh, I see. So I mean, a 10-4 is like go somewhere really quickly.
Is it? Christ,
well,
how did you know that?
Well,
I've never done a 10-4.
No.
But a 10-5 would be, like, fantastically quick.
Yes, yes.
Oh, there you are. You took your time.
Yeah, here we go.
Right.
Look, we got this nutter here.
It's all right, sir. He's with me.
No, him with the bloody bagpipes.
Oh, okay. Let's just take this calmly, sir.
It's all very well for you to say that, but I'm losing money. He's been standing there for an hour now, and I've got people waiting for important prescriptions who won't come in to collect them.
Let's just take this step by step.
It's all very well for you to say that, but I've got people in there who've already got their prescriptions and won't go out.
Right.
And one of them's claustrophobic.
Okay.
And he's already swallowed a fortnight's course of tranquilizers.
It might be worth having a friendly word with this bloke, perhaps. Which shop is yours exactly?
Bloody chemist, what are you, stupid?
No, he's not, that's just a myth.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Excuse me, sir.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm afraid to say, sir, there's been a complaint about your presence here this afternoon.
A presence? A complaint? I mean, no, I'm not breaking the law, am I? I've never broken the law in my life.
Well, the situation is, sir, that under the 1980s Highway Act, you are deemed to be causing an obstruction if you cause someone to deviate from a straight line on the pavement.
You're nicked.
If you'll just let me handle this, sir.
Surely there isn't a law against bagpipes, is there? I mean, it's my living now. It's what I do.
No, it isn't. Honestly, mate.
But, I mean, people don't walk in straight lines.
Of course I do. Yeah,
I understand your point, sir, but I'm afraid I didn't make the law.
I mean, if I wanted to get from where I am to where you are, I'd have to go round him.
Who, me?
And if the officer wanted to get from where he is to where you are, he'd have to go round him as well.
Well, so, what are you saying? It's in that's in the way.
Who, me?
Well, get him shifted as well, then.
What?
Tom Savage is 28. Until 3 months ago, he had a comfortable job in telephone sales. But then, after a long, hard think about what he was achieving, what he amounted to, and where he was going in his life, his manager decided to offer him 2 months' pay and fire him. It was a shock at the time, but since then he's come to realize that it's probably one of the best things that's ever happened to him. Which, if it's true, is even more depressing, of course. But with nothing to lose, Tom decided to do what he'd always wanted to do, which was to learn to play the bagpipes properly and start a new life, surviving on his wits and his talent.
Oh, yeah, this is it for me now. Yeah.
Really? Why the bagpipes in particular?
Well, my parents encouraged me to play them a lot as a child.
I see. Yeah. Were they Scottish?
Oh. No, but they were very encouraging.
Oh, right.
Haven't we heard enough of this drivel?
No, that's a bit cruel. I mean, don't rise to it. The best thing to do with people like him is to ignore them.
Pardon?
Yes. You can be held in contempt for that. I mean, if you want a longer sentence, that's fine, but prison's going to be very nasty.
Can we have a little word in private, sir?
Who, me?
Yes. You, sorry.
Let's just walk up here a little way, shall we? Bit of exercise might do us good.
I don't need exercise.
All the same, sir, let's just take some time.
Yeah. Yeah.
People like that disgust me.
No, really, I mean, don't worry about him.
No, well, anyway.
Enough of this idle chat.
Oh, no.
I've got a job to do.
No, perhaps I can just... Perhaps I can just... No, but I mean, listen, When you say you used to be in telephone sales...
Pardon?
Well, it's just that I'm interested... I mean, when you say you used to be in telephone sales, what was it exactly you used to sell?
Telephones.
Oh, I see, yes.
That's a bit of a bonkers question.
Well, I mean, how do you find people react to what you do now?
They love it. You know, they really love it.
Do they?
Yeah, I mean, you should see the look on people's faces.
Yes, I can imagine.
No, you can't, really.
I think I can, yeah. So the idea is...
It's such a magic feeling, yeah, when you're really cooking.
Yes, so the idea is you survive now by moving from one town to another.
Oh, Christ, that is... I like that. I like that.
Good.
It's great talking to you because you never actually know what you're going to say next. Sometimes it's like complete rubbish, and then you come out with a cracking idea like that.
Yes, well,
still.
Yeah.
I've got a public to think about.
Oh, well, I mean, don't think about them. I mean, they can always be helped up. Oh, dear.
Oh, you're back, are you?
Yes, I've just popped back.
You're emotionally exhausted?
No, I've just come back to have a look.
Is Dave not coming back for his break?
I'm not quite sure, really.
Oh.
Did you ever see Cagney and Lacey?
I'd left Dave and come back to the station briefly because I'd arranged to talk to Chief Inspector George Carpenter, the most senior-ranking officer and, in effect, the station boss.
Oh, Wiggy. Oh, that'll get your adrenaline pumping. You sure you're up to it?
Should I go and knock on his
Jane,
door?
Jane, is Wiggy in his office?
Yeah, I think so.
What's this about? I mean, why do you call him Wiggy?
Oh, absolutely no idea at all, sir, whatsoever, have you, Jane?
It's a complete mystery, Sarge. I've never understood it myself.
Oh, you're in luck.
Oh? Mr. Mallard?
Yes, it is. Yes.
It's George Carpenter.
Yes, I can see that. I mean...
I've just got to have a word with Sergeant Pond, and then I'll be with you.
Yes.
My office is the last one you come to at the end of the corridor.
Right.
Would you like to go on ahead?
Pardon?
George Carpenter has been in the police force for 20 years, starting off as a new recruit. Well, of course, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? And rising steadily through the ranks to his current position of chief inspector. Now in his early 50s and married with two small daughters and one large one, all in their 20s, he admits that over the years there have been times when the constant stress that comes with his job has taken its toll. And there's evidence of this in a lined and chiselled face. Although in some ways he looks fantastically young.
You must have seen a lot of changes in the culture and practice of policing during your time in the force.
Oh, yes, tremendous.
Yeah.
And I must say, I think they're overwhelmingly for the better. And that's not just rhetoric. I say it, if you like, with a very hard head.
Ah, yes.
You find that surprising?
No, not at all. I just...
Looking a bit startled.
No, I'm not. No. So, what sort of changes are you talking about?
I think the main change I've seen in my time has to do with the fact that we can no longer assume automatic respect.
Right.
Each officer has to earn that respect afresh each day, which I think is no bad thing.
Was it ever actually respect, though? Or do you think it was fear?
I think in some ways that's probably splitting hairs. You don't agree?
I
actually think that in the end they amount to much the same thing. And I think that teachers have had a similar experience. We're no longer a nation that tugs our forelock. You really don't agree, do you?
No, it's...
I can see it in your face.
Can you? But perhaps moving on a bit, there's been a lot in the media recently about the whole question of the police being armed. Mm. Do you think that's something that's inevitable, or
well, there was a body of opinion within the force a few years ago arguing strongly for arming officers on the beat, but so far it hasn't happened, and in my judgment that's quite right.
But do you think there's still a likelihood of it happening?
I personally think it's receding fast.
Oh, that's,
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm... Fine. I just... I'm sort of hay fevery thing. So the current situation is that no officers carry guns.
That's right. But we have certain officers who've been weapons trained, and we also have a special unit, the TSG, which we can call upon at any time.
And what does that stand for?
It won't stand for anything at all. They're a very tough group of men.
Right. So who decides whether or not to call in this tough, silent group?
Well, that decision is left to the judgment of senior police officers like myself.
And do you find that the responsibility weighs heavily on your... on any part of you?
To be honest with you, I think it's better that these decisions are made by someone who has both the experience and the expertise to make them, rather than by some other possibly less well-informed bigwig. It doesn't need saying that it's not something I just do off the top of my head. We could take a break and continue this later.
I'm sorry.
Have you tried those nasal sprays? They're supposed to be even better than injections.
Thanks. Yes. I'll better mind.
It would have been interesting to talk to Chief Inspector Carpenter at greater length, but I couldn't. I had a rendezvous with Dave at a predestination which we'd arranged earlier, obviously.
I'll kill him! I'm bloody going to kill him!
No, you won't, Frank.
I've killed two men already today.
No, Frank, you haven't.
I'd round them first to make it easy. Oh, my God, there's one of them now.
Hello.
Oh, you're back.
After his conversation with Dave earlier in the afternoon, Tom had decided that he was prostituting his talents playing in the streets and that his natural home was the Weir's shopping centre. Perhaps unluckily for him, the Weir's shopping centre actually is the home of a well-known figure in the city centre, known simply as Frank, who, having spent much of his life in and out of institutions, well, in, really, has now managed to put all that behind him and is now leading a normal life as a professional assassin and undercover agent.
I'll kill him from the ground up.
Oh, I found this sculpture thing.
But I haven't got time to go through all this again.
I'll start with his feet. Where are they?
I had a brainwave. If I find another obstruction and stand in front of it, I can't possibly be in the way.
For your own sake, if nothing else, I'm going to have to insist that you move on.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, how can I be obstructing anything when everybody has got to go around this horse thing anyway?
I don't think it's a horse, is it?
Yeah, of course it's a horse.
Look, it doesn't really matter what it
He's
is.
He's not the only one with bloody feet.
Now, look, should we
Hotel
all just...
Hotel Whiskey X-ray, Hotel Whiskey 475.
Hotel Whiskey 475, go ahead.
Dave, I've got a suspect package at the Eagle Pub on Campton Road.
What do you think it is, then?
Well, it's just that it's got a beard.
Oh, what? You think it's a man? That's outrageous.
No, I think it's a goat.
You are completely bonkers, aren't you?
Sergeant Pond and WPC 4 are on their way in a car. They'll pick you up. Dump that bloke if you have to.
Got that. So that's a 10-5, then, is it?
Blimey, is it?
Okay.
But isn't this one way, though?
Yeah, is it? Oh, well, sorry.
So, is it true that police officers can actually go through red light?
Yeah, up to a point. It depends. Get off the road!
Might be just a basic driver.
Oh, great. A bus. This'll be interesting. You've got to be an advanced driver and have done a special course.
Get off the road!
Right, I see it. Is that it? Get off the road! Is that really difficult? Is it sort of a bus?
Yeah, apparently, yes.
Oh, my God.
Get off the road!
Hey, senior, you'll just about make that, I reckon.
The hotel.
Nice going, Sarge.
Bet you didn't think he'd make that. I said, I bet you didn't think he'd make that.
He's got his eyes closed.
No, I haven't really.
Excuse me.
Hello again.
I'm sorry, but I can't give you any information at this stage in case it's not a bomb at all.
Lionel, what the hell are you doing here?
Don't be too hard on him, Sarge.
Well, I was on my way home and I still had my uniform on, so I thought best get round there and help out.
How would you being here going to help?
Well, I'm trained to deal with ordinary members of the public.
You are a member of the public, that's what you are. I grant you're not quite ordinary, perhaps, but...
I still have my uniform on and everything.
Lionel, please, go home.
Oh, but I still have... Oh.
Oh, he doesn't mean it.
I've missed my bus now.
Have you? It's just the way he is with people he admires. I think he's one of these people who finds it difficult.
Oi, Cracker!
What? Me?
Do you want to come in here and watch or what?
No, that's fine. I'll just stay out here. I'm more a sort of outdoor person, really. I don't want to get in the way.
You're bloody joking, aren't you?
Pardon?
Everybody seems very calm.
Well, we've all done this 1,000 times in practice.
Right, I see. Good. And the practices are exactly like the real thing.
I suppose that depends what happens next, really.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes, I see, yeah.
The scene inside the Eagle, when I eventually fought my way in there, was an oasis of peace at the eye of the desert storm. The suspect package in question was an innocuous green Adidas sports bag, which had been left inconspicuously underneath a chair. In all probability, it was a perfectly ordinary sports bag full of perfectly ordinary sports kit, depending on the taste and, to a certain extent, the size and, I suppose, shape of the person who'd left it behind. But no one was taking any chances, except all of us inside the building.
So how do you control the natural human symptoms of fear in situations like this?
Do you want to sit down?
Yes, that's a good idea, thanks.
Not that chair, though.
Correct. Yes, good point.
Chief Inspector Carpenter, bravely not wearing any kind of hat, had arrived together with some CID officers to take charge of the incident. We were all waiting for the arrival of the explosives unit, but it was 15 quite tense minutes, and then about another 5 really tense ones, before they finally arrived, led by team leader Andy Kendrick, veteran of 10 years in the unit.
Sorry, we're a bit late. Good job by your parking space.
Well, it's good to see you.
I would have thought they still have traffic wardens on duty at this time. Oh, that's a bit of a low beam, isn't it?
Chief Inspector Carpenter.
Hello, Andy Kendrick.
Oh,
sorry, was that your foot? Sorry.
That's okay. Is there anything you're going to need?
No, not really, I don't think. A glass of... there's my car keys. I might work with a glass of water to hand, that's all.
Mike? Okay, sir. Dave?
Okay, sir.
Jane? Yeah, of course, Dave.
So, there it is, under the chair over there.
Very good, very good. The blue bag.
Green?
Really? Oh, okay, then.
And so, what we've basically
the same colour
done,
of your hat,
yeah,
to
what
me.
We've basically done is to get everyone out of the building.
Ah, very good, yeah, very good.
Yes, and
Sir, sorry, I didn't see you there.
Sorry,
gave me a bit of a, you know.
I'll tell you if he's going to get you one of
those. No, that's okay, I'll get him up.
You sure?
Yeah, of course, although, actually, I'm not finding it very easy to see them. It's a bit dark in here. Perhaps it's my...
Shall we get on with me?
No, I think some of them have probably got under this table. Best second. Oh, what's this great big...
Hello.
Hello.
It's Roy Mallard.
Oh.
People like us.
What the hell are you doing down there?
For me? Well, I was just, you know... Are you all right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not quite quite sure what I hit.
It was your head, I think.
Oh, was it?
I don't believe this.
Oh, I do.
There was something not quite right with him when he was talking to me.
Oh, you're quite wet, aren't you?
No, it's fine, really.
Well, it's nice to be back outside in the open air.
Yeah.
Is that bagpipes I can hear in
there? No.
No. No, I'm sure I can hear.
No, I can't hear anything.
Right, neither can I.
Oh, smart Mercedes.
Half an hour after Andy Kendrick and his team arrived, we were back out on the streets doing General Ten Wanning. He'd brought with him two large metal boxes full of sophisticated modern technology, and immediately was able to establish that there was nothing at all to fear inside the Adidas bag, after tripping over one of them and falling on top of it.
So, it's 8:30 now. What sort of things do you think you can expect in the last 2 hours or so of your shift?
Well, every day's different, but I don't know, maybe a couple of domestics, maybe a break-in.
Sorry, officer, but this is too much.
Oh, well, here we go. I'm sorry.
I'm a reasonable man, but this is simply too much.
Good evening, sir. What is it?
No, please, don't give me any of that crap. I'm an intelligent man.
Philip Naylor has come out of a visit to his doctor's surgery to find his car wheel-clamped. An intelligent and reasonable man, he's been under a lot of pressure both at work and at home, and has been talking through the pros and cons of different kinds of medication with his GP, with whom he also used to play tennis occasionally before he broke his racket when something snapped.
And the heinous crime I've committed is that I've made a private appointment with my GP.
The thing is, sir, the police don't actually have anything to do with...
And it would be 8:30 in the evening, and there being no other spaces in this handsomely wide and little used street, I decide, in order not to miss my appointment, which has taken me 6 days to arrange, to...
What it is it's the city council.
I mean, there's old ladies being mugged left, right and centre, and you can't move for young people joyriding around the place, drugged up to the eyeballs, and all you can do is...
I think they've contracted it out to a private firm now, so...
And quite frankly, I don't like the look of your face.
Oh, dear, that's a bit unfair. He's only doing...
It was you I was talking to.
Right, fair enough.
Now, let's just try and be calm and rational about this now, shall we, sir?
I'm not irrational, and don't bloody patronise me!
Oh, dear.
Sir, I'd have to say that you're adopting a threatening posture.
Yes, I'd have to say that as well.
I'm not going to be ignored.
Well, that's okay. He's not... I mean, I'm not... We're not...
Sir, I'm not someone to be ignored.
Sir, if I were you, I'd...
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to ignore you.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I think wheel clamping is
what
dreadful.
About, oh, my God.
I mean, basically,
God.
It needs to be said loud and clear.
Is he all right?
It's one of the most ludicrous and, in fact, evil aspects of...
Get up. Please, get up.
I don't think you can.
Get up. Get up. Well, I've never hit anyone before in my life.
Well, you know, at least people probably won't ignore you, you know. Well, you know, not for...
Oh,
not
get
for
up, please. Well, we need an ambulance. Where's the nearest...
I don't know.
Oh, we could radio. Oh, we could radio. You know, do you know how to use his radio?
Policing in the 90s has changed out of all recognition from the comfortable world of Dixon of Dock Green, where the villains were villains and the policemen were quite clearly actors. Today, like many other British institutions, they've become demythologized and perhaps all too human.
Hello, Hotel Whistling Extra. This is Hotel Whistling Mallard. Hello, over, come in.
He's breathing. I think I can see him breathing.
Hotel Whistling X-ray. What the bloody hell was that?
Hello, it's Roy Mallard. That's R for, well,
they'll
Roy.
They'll put me in jail, won't they?
No. O for aubergine, Y for...
I don't want to go to jail.
Y for wife. No, just a minute.
In some ways, it's comforting to know that policemen and women are, under their uniforms... Well, they've always been under their uniforms, but the point is we've come to realise that they are, in the end, people like us. But ironically, it may be this very realisation which has made it all the more difficult for them to perform the function in society that we ask of them.
What the hell have we got here?
Dave! Dave, Sarge, it's Dave!
What have you done to him?
Oh, Dave.
Well, it wasn't actually me. It's a bit of a...
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Pardon?
Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
What
do
me?
You... Lucky I just happened to come out to the doctor's when I did.
No, no, but...
It got completely berserk.
No,
he's been heading that way all day.
No, I haven't. No,
I separated him as soon as I could, but by then he'd already...
No, but...
Shut up, you!
But as with our changing attitudes to the royal family, the church, and dentists... Perhaps we're just beginning to realise that there's a price to pay for public accountability. Could it be that if people like us are to live and work together healthily as a society, we need to believe and have faith in people not like... people unlike... people like them more than we know, if only we knew it. Which we don't, of course.
Hello.
I'm going to kill you.
Are you? Right.
I already killed that bloke with the feet.
Right. Marvellous.
Roy Mallard would like to give a special thank you to Chris Langham, and also to Benedict Sandiford, Roger Snowman, Fiona Allen, Julian Rind Tutt, James Green, Geoffrey Whitehead, Kim Wall, Peter Gunn and David Brooks. The programme was written by John Morton and produced by Paul Schlesinger.
And provided they haven't thrown away the key, next week Roy shadows a hotel manager and has fun with the revolving doors.